shiur we were discussing the prohibition of touching his wife, which is an ida. So there is no question that touch prohibited. The Gemara says that explicitly. But we drew a distinction between whether the touching is derechiba or tan derechiba. If it's derechiba, done in an affectionate manner, so let me say that would be, according, at least according to the view of the Rambam, according to many Rishonim, that would be an outright issa deraisa. That has nothing to do with ilchus nida. That's a general do whenever a woman is erva. So there's a general halacha of lo sikva legamas erva, all kind of physical contact in an affectionate manner is also min haTorah. The Rambam took issue with that, but maybe that's not necessarily an issa deraisa, but the Shach Paskin halacha like the Rambam. And then we said, what if the touching is not an affectionate matter? It's the love of their chiva. So we said, that would only be a nisa derabbanan. That's for sure not going to be a nisa deraisa. 100% for sure. That's with the Shach Paskin. That for sure is not going to be a nisa deraisa. And that's going to be something that was only instituted by Ishto Nida. So it comes out a little bit of a strange thing. And the Giyash love of their chiva is more chomer by one's wife than it is with somebody else. And the reason being is because all the harchakas, all the dinim, the rabban, the harchakas, they're not eating together, not passing, all the things that we talk about in the next couple of shiurim, those were only instituted, we assume, by ishto nida. They don't apply to a stranger. Let's say if a person has to hand the car keys to another woman, so that's permissible. But one cannot hand the car keys to one's wife, and she's in nida. The reason being that Chazal were much more concerned that since the couple is so close to one another, there's much more of a fear lest things come to be done inappropriately. So it comes out that Viderechiba is for sure also under all circumstances, one's wife and somebody else, all arise, as an Issa deraisa, the pashas of Viderechiba. Shalom Viderechiba for other women is Mutar, for one's wife is also Mederba. That was the Shach we mentioned the other show last week. 2 weeks ago, that's the reason why there are doctors. The reason why a doctor can take care of a patient is that's assumed to be shalom derechiba, that would be mutter. If it's one's own wife, then that would be a problem, unless there's some kind of a real mokcholam, mokcholam, and we'll talk about that as we go on a little bit further. Since the issue of shalom derechiba is not an issue deraisa, it's only an issue derabbana because of the hachafas, so then maybe one can argue under certain circumstances it's going to actually be permissible. If some of the reasons of the hachakas don't apply, then maybe the issa doesn't apply altogether. Why should we say the issa doesn't apply? Why should the reason not apply? So there is a fascinating tshuva. It's quoted in the 13th page of the Maamar Kamos. So it's on the 13th page of the Maamar Kamos, it's Maamar Kamos number 4. It's fascinating, I don't know, because the topic is interesting, but the background, I guess the sociological part of the Shaila is perhaps even more fascinating than the issue itself. The Nebi Yehuda and fourth of the Rambam Kamos, the Chubas Nebi Yehuda Kinyana, Nishal B'ishu Isha Dar B'kvar, have a man and a woman who live out in a village, V'einsham Yehudia Yehudia Zulas HaZug L'Vadom, there's nobody around, there's no other Jew lives. We imagine a couple lives out in the middle of Bumi somewhere in Eastern Europe, and there's no other Jew around, and the woman has to go to the mikveh. Where should go to the mikveh? What mikveh? Who's building them a mikveh for them? So the answer is that it must be some kind of a natural body. It must be some kind of a lake or rivers or any, a big, big shiloh. That was a very, very serious question. The Gemara and the Rishon can even use a river for a mikveh because the river moves. And the halacha is that whenever you have rainwater or melted snow water, so it has to be stationary in order for it to be kosher as a mikveh. If you have an underground spring, you have bubbling water from an underground spring, that's fine. That's like, if you have reeds mikveh, that can move. But if the source of the water is rainwater, so that's going to be a problem. That's what's called zochlin. It's moving rainwater, that's a serious problem. So the Gemara has a big shayla in the second Nedarim about when you have a river, is the river mostly rainwater or is it mostly spring water? If it's mostly rainwater, then it's a big problem because it's zochlin, because it's moving. Mostly spring water, then it's okay. So the Gemara says depends on the time of year, depends on the rivers, the different factors that go into that. So that's a serious, serious shail about doubling the rivers. Rabbi Natan was very, very makeable about this. Rabbi Natan had a unique way of reading the Maskaras of Gemara, and it came out that basically all rivers are okay according to Rabbi Natan. Ramal quotes on the Chumash Hadesha that in Europe, Eastern Europe, so they used to be making the Shas al Chagodol, and they couldn't find another mikvah. A couple lived out in the middle of nowhere. There was no way to build a mikvah, and there was no other spring of water. There's no other lake, anything like that. So they would have to go to the rivers. They would have to rely on the view of Rabbi Nadab. That was like Shas al Chagodol. But even if it's not totally in a river, sometimes just lakes. And some lakes are like rivers, some are not like rivers, depending on how well. You can't just give a heter across the board to be told in a lake. You have to ascertain what the layout of the lake is. So you have situations where a couple lives in the middle of nowhere, there's no, they don't have the funds to build, obviously build a mikveh, retain a mikveh for them. So they have to find some kind of a natural body of water that's kosher. So this is the shadow that was presented in the Can the man, the husband, serve as the mikveh lady because there's nobody else around? The din in Shulchan Aruch is that somebody has to watch the woman when she goes to the mikveh. The not real trust in a girl. That how she can tell whether a hair went under the mikveh. If even one hair remains above the water level, so that's going to disqualify the tefillah even on a level of deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the middle of Hilchos Kriyashma. The Mishnah Berurah is talking about a totally different topic. He digresses a little bit, and he happens to place talking about one tear, saying Shema. So he says, and by the way, just remind your wives that they have to be very, very careful when they go to the mikveh, that the hair should be totally under the water. And make sure the mikveh ladies know this, because that's the biggest problem. Because if you goof, if you goof on a chatzitza here and there, it's on the drum, anyway, but if you goof, then some of the hair doesn't go under the water, that invalidates the tefillah with the raisa. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not allowed to go to the mikveh without somebody watching, or else you have no idea whether the hair went under. So here the problem is who's going to watch. There's no mikveh, there's no Jew around for 100 miles. Obviously, it has to be the man. The husband's going to have to watch. So that's an issue, because the husband is not allowed to see the parts of his wife's body that are exposed, which is the nida. So he's going to be standing there watching her go down to the mikveh. She's still in a nida at that point. Is that permissible? And then, second of all, can he help her go under the water to help her go down? And you can just imagine what this mikveh looks like. It's a frozen lake somewhere in the middle of the middle of Czechoslovakia. So he's going with it with an axe. He's got to go break the ice, and she's got to go down the tree. He's afraid that if he doesn't hold her hand, she's not going to come back up again. So the dude has a shadow. Is he allowed to touch her? So Kozman, that he's helping her, and he's holding her, and he's supporting her to go down under the water, she's still in need of. So how is he allowed to touch her? So that was the dual shayla of the Rebbe. How can he serve as the mikveh attendant, whatever you want to call him? Number one, he's looking at mekavos and mechusos, parts of the body that are shouldn't be exposed. And number two, he's holding her hand, and both of those things are being violated at the time, but she's still in need of. So the Rebbe has the following kula: mekavos shemitzad asvara nira kevin deisa negiya kedas hashach. V'chein isa histachlos mekavos and mechus mushema yavol dehergol davar. Says, why are these things awesome? Why can't he hold her hand? This is not exactly the most romantic setting. She's trying to hold him up for dear life. She's trying to, shouldn't slip, shouldn't fall into the ice. So that kind of a touching is clearly not b'derechiva. And he's just looking, or he's not doing anything. All of those kinds of things are only surim in the Rabbanan because of gezeira, that they may come to violate the Isra of Nida. So says in Rebbe, lo chashinan. Says, berega ze lo chashinan. Says, for one split second, and she's going under the water, you don't have to worry about that. So says the Rebbe, what are you afraid of? He's holding her hand as she's going into the water. So you're afraid, oh, they're going to violate a terrible listen. Whatever, she's going through the water, she's going to the mikveh. In 10 seconds, she's going to become muteris. So you're afraid that he's holding her hand, and then, wait, don't go to the mikveh, let's be together. So says the Rebbe, so unlikely that there's any violation that's going to happen. Therefore, l'chein yev shebin achi ish lahatir ayin shav. So he says that since there's no there's nothing to be concerned with, nothing realistic to be concerned with, therefore it's going to be permissible. So this night only makes sense in light of the shach from last year, because the shach told us that the giyush lo b'derechiva with one's wife is not an issur d'oraisa. Because it's no different min haTorah than any other woman who you're not allowed to be with. So min haTorah, that's not called l'sikervu. It's only an issur d'rabbanan, and the issur d'rabbanan was instituted gezeira, atu, having a via. So when that reason doesn't apply, then the issur doesn't apply either. So that Rav Yehuda Meikra din was matter the looking and the holding. But he writes, it's Eif Shemin Nachem. It's all the way to do it. This is not normative halacha. This is for the people who have been trouble, not slipping in the ice. Sometimes I remind people of this. Sometimes a person calls me, telling me, it's hard to go to the mikveh that night, you have company, it's a little bit cold outside, it's a 3-block walk on a Friday night. I have to know who's talking to me. I never say it to someone who I'm not comfortable talking to. Sometimes I remind people about how important it is, how your great, great, great grandmothers were Moshe Nefesh a lot more than you are to go to the mikveh. I said, and sometimes I'll refer to them to this night, because the husband was going along to chop the ice for the woman. stories about people who traveled for hours on end and all kind of crazy situations and climates in order to go to the mikvah. So the 2-block walk, you know, on Friday night is really not is something we can even in the very cold weather. Everything has to be put into proper perspective. But the Maisa that Rebbe writes that this is again not normative situation. This is a very very unique situation. We have this sometimes. We don't have the ice situations, but we sometimes have this when a woman is going to the mikvah and it says after hours. So sometimes you get stuck on a plane and you come back to 2:00 in the morning, she was going to mikvah that night. So most mikvahs will arrange the following, that it's not realistic to expect for a mikvah attendant to come at 2:00 in the morning to watch you, but they will sometimes set up the mikvah for you in advance. They'll give you a code how to get in. They'll set everything up. So you have to arrange this with the mikvah. Can't shpatir yourself at 2:00 in the morning and come into the mikvah without telling anybody. First of all, alarms are going to go off, and the police will be there. And number two, the mikvah at that point may not be acceptable because the filters are going to be on. So you have to be very careful. You should never ever go to the mikvah by yourself without getting the proper authorization. You have to turn off the filters and turn off the alarms and make sure everything is set properly. So the question is, who's going to be the mikvah lady at 2:00 in the morning? So if you can find a friend to go with you, great. It's not so realistic. So under those extenuating circumstances, we can quote this lady, we can let the husband, it says, be the mikvah lady. But again, this should be reserved only for very unique situations. So what we're doing now, we've been talking about, I guess, what we call the most chomer of all the harchakas. That's the harchak of actual touching. So the most chomer is if it's touching derechiba, which is even more than a regular harchak, that according to the Rambam, the Shach Paskins is an issa deraisa. And then we spoke about what the Gemara says in the Sech Shabbos about negiya shalobi derechiba, which is also clearly also b'ishtonida, but that most probably is only midirabon. Then we move into other hachachas, which maybe some of them may be instituted as almost an extension of touching, or perhaps gzeirus of the touching. That begins with the fifth of the Ramakamos. So the Gemara said is Ksubis on the Daf Samach Aleph of an Aleph gives us a list of different hachachas. Amar Rav Huna, kol malacha she'isha osa labayla, nida osa labayla. The reason why this is in Ksubis is because the Mishnayos in Ksubis, they're talking about different legal responsibilities the husband has to the wife and vice versa. When a couple gets married, so besides love of marriage, there's a real legal responsibility, there's a real legal agreement that takes place. It's all, much of it is delineated in the Ksuba. So the husband becomes obligated in share to his owner, he has to support his wife, he has to provide her food and her clothing. He writes in the Ksuba, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to support my wife the normal way people do. And in quote unquote return for that. So the Mishnah tells us in Ksubas that there are malacha she'isha osa labayla, as it's understood the woman's going to cook and she's going to do the laundry and she's going to clean up. Again, if the husband or wife decide that they want to make an agreement, either a formal or informal agreement, that doesn't follow those exact terms, it's the moment they can do whatever they want. So if it works out better for them, that the wife works also and she provides some of the salary, so the husband's around, he does the laundry, he cooks dinner. Whatever works for them. Not a halacha, much we see it has to be this way. But Bizman Chazal, it was understood that he's going to be provided, bringing in the salary, and she's going to be doing the work in the house. Gemara says that agreement was made primarily L'tova Sa'isha. It was made to protect the wife's interests, because it's more likely that he'll be able to bring in more money than her. In the olden days, that was not more likely, it was always that case. But let's say once in a blue moon, you have a woman who she has a better job than he has. So she says, I don't want to be supported by you. I'll provide my own food. I'll bring in the food for family, but I'm not going to give you my salary either. I want to keep my salary. So the Gemara says that she has a right to make that claim. He has no right to say to her, to pull out on her and say, you work for yourself and you buy your own food. No. Takana, or the Dinder Isa, Takana, whatever it was made with Tovas Aisha. If she says she wants to back out and she wants to keep her own money and not to provide, not to give the salary to the husband, and she'll take care of her own needs, that she's allowed to do that. So in the middle of those two using Suvis, so the Mishnah spells out all the different jobs that the woman has to do. So Rav Huna says that all those jobs the woman does, even when she's a Nida. She's allowed to do the laundry when she's a Nida, she's allowed to cook the food when she's a Nida. But there are certain jobs that she's not supposed to do when she's a Nida, because those are a little bit more intimate. So what are some of the things that the wife is usually expected to do the rest of the month, but not when she's in Ida. So Kol Lach Shisha Sabayla Nidos by the Chutz with Mizigis at Coast. And she's not supposed to prepare him a cup of wine, to pour a cup of wine, prepare a cup of wine for him. So during the rest of the month, that she's Mutaris, that's understood. So here he's working all day, and she's preparing the food in the kitchen. He comes home, he wants a cup of wine for dinner. So she's supposed to bring him a cup of wine. That's part of preparing the food. So that she shouldn't do when she's in Ida, because that's already a little bit too affectionate. That Sasamita, she shouldn't set up the bed. She shouldn't place the pillows and the blankets into the right way. We'll talk about this later on, what the modern day equivalent of this is. Because again, at a certain key, he should make his own bed. And the washing of his hands and his feet and his face, so she's not supposed to wash him up, scrub him up, so that she shouldn't be doing. We'll talk about this later on also. It doesn't only mean not the actual washing, even preparing the water may be a problem. So the Gemara starts to give some of the limitations about what this applies. And again, this is not really absolutely good yet. We're going to get to this later. But just for our purposes, we continue the Gemara for a moment. She's allowed to make the bed for him as long as he's not standing there. He's standing there. She's propping up the pillows, making the bed nice. So that's a little bit too affectionate. But if she's doing it, he's at work. So then that would be okay. That which we said before, she's now allowed to prepare the cup of wine for him. That Shmuel permitted his wife to bring him a cup of wine as long as she brought it with her left hand, which was apparently a righty. So she's allowed to bring it with her left hand because presumably that's going to prevent any chait, since it's going to be a hecker, it's going to be recognizable. So we can hopefully see that theme as we go on the archokas. Many of the archokas are permitted if they're done in an abnormal fashion. This is one of the archokas that were permitted under those circumstances. They're going to remember not to be chaitik. Abai manchala apuma de kuva, rava besadja, rapapa ashashifa. The other Amoraim had their wives bring them a cup of wines when the women were nidas, but instead of putting it directly in front of the husbands, they would put it in different places. They put it on the side, put it on the couch, and each one had a different, what the besadja was, what the shashifa was, different places. The idea being, it was done in an abnormal fashion. So the bottom line is that the preparation of the cup of wine and the bringing the cup of wine, that's a problem when the woman is in nidah. That's one of the official halachos that appears in Chazal itself. So comes Tosus in the sixth of the Memkamos. Mechlech would divis be out of the smaller. So Gemara said explicitly that Shmuel would not permit his wife to bring him a cup of wine directly, to hand him the wine directly. He would insist that she does it with her left hand. So the Machsa Vitri, Jewish Rav Shemaya, the Machsa Vitri was written by one of the Chachamim of Rashi, Rabbeinu Shemaya. He writes that Shaya Nizar Rashi afilu shlodite mafteach miyado liyado. Rashi had a practice of not handing the keys to his wife when she was a nida. Again, nothing to do with keys per se, that was just one example. He wouldn't hand her a credit card, wouldn't hand her the money, wouldn't hand her anything when she was a nida. And the question is, where did Rashi get that from? Where does it say in the Gemara, Sugas and Shabbos, and all the Sugas of Achokos, where does it say you're not allowed to hand something to one's wife when she's a nida? This is the most famous of all the Achokos, but I'm sure where it came from. What's the source of this? So the earliest source, I think, that we have is Rashi. This statement from Tosfos from Ben Shmaya in the name of Rashi. Rashi used to be careful about this. So Tosfos is thinking that maybe Rashi got from his Gemara, because the Gemara says that you're not allowed to hand a cup of wine to your wife when she's in your vice versa. She can't hand him wine. So maybe wine was lav dafka wine. Maybe wine referred to anything that's handed. So he says, no. He says, Mikane in Raya. Says Tosfos, there's no Raya from here. To shine him, Zigas Kosh, who double shall chiba. No, this is wine. This has nothing to do with handing the keys. This is unique with wine. This has nothing to do with handing over to somebody. He says, here the yisr is, even if you don't hand it to him, you put it in front of him, that's a problem. The Amoraim's wives were putting it on the side, on the floor, on the couch, on the bed, and stuff. They weren't placing it directly. The Gemara's not even talking about handing things. Handing things? Who said it's also to hand things? So it's also to present wine to your husband. That's the problem. Wine is something unique and special. But if it's not wine, it's just to hand the keys, to hand the wallet. He says, where in the world does it ever say that this is also? So then Tosfos continues. It says, maybe there's another right. Maybe right from the story of Masechet Shabbos. If you take a look at the end of the second line. When we say the Eliyahu, the Ketani, Gabe, now Uptu, the Maisi, Prakam, the Shabbos, the Gemara tells in the first book of Shabbos, from the time of Eliyahu, a story about how Eliyahu and Novi was speaking to one of Tabit Chacham's wives, and the person wasn't careful about her chachas. The other mechat shekar v'harbi v'shon harbi v'shashel Eliel v'ishto, that Eliel was talking to the wife and explained to the wife that the husband wasn't very careful about achaz nida. And he said to her, Shem heves lo sapach, Shem heves lo sashemen. So Eliel said to her, did you bring him a pitcher when you were in nida? Did you bring hand him oil when you were in nida? So he said, the wife said, what? He never touched me anyway when I was in nida. So it sounds like Eliyahu Navi was asking her, did you bring him things? Did you hand him things? It sounds like you're not allowed to hand things. Nah, nami ain't raya. The matzim lefareish shlul avos atach hayamachbis. So Eliyahu Navi didn't mean to say no. Did you hand things? And the handing was also. Alahogi am a shemba b'shas avos atach lo mishad benogavech. He said, maybe he touched you. Maybe you touched each other. He's just using that as an example and saying that maybe you weren't so careful and you touched each other. And that seems to be the end of the story, because she responded. He said to her, did you bring him a pitcher of oil? And she said, he didn't touch me. He didn't ask whether he touched or not. So the answer is, Tosfos says, no, he did ask. That was the thrust of the question. There's nothing usher about handing things, says Tosfos. It doesn't exist. There's no such issue. There's no Gemara. Not a Gemara in Ksubas. Not a Gemara in Nida. Not a Gemara in Shabbos. There's no Mokra in Shas. No Mokra in the Gemara itself. So you're not allowed to hand things to one another when the woman is in Nida. But Rashi said it. Rashi had such a practice. So Rashi had such a practice for one of two reasons. Either because Rashi didn't accept Tosfos' dichuyim of the Rahis. Rashi thought those were good Rahis. They were good proofs. And maybe it really is also Mikra Din. Or more likely is that Rashi conceded to his grandchildren that these are not really rayas, these are not absolute ironclad proofs. Rashi felt it's not a din, but it's a chumra, it's a minig, it's an eitz toiva, it's a hiddur, so one should be careful not to hand things to one's wife when she is in nida. Why should that be? Why should we make this gezeira? Where does chumra come from? So the seventh of the man comes, so Shulchan Aruch quotes the reason for it. So Shulchan Aruch says, lo yigav afilu b'yat b'ktana, one is not allowed to touch one's wife at all, even in a small touch, even in a non-affectionate matter. He shouldn't hand anything to her, not just the wine, even the keys. He shouldn't accept anything from her either. Shema yigaviv sara, as a gezeira, lest he touches her. So what Tosfos read into the story of Masechta Shabbos, so basically now the Shulchan Aruch brings back to life that it's not intrinsically usur to hand things. I'm handing the keys, I'm not touching, it's really mutter, but you have to be careful. Shema yigaviv sara. And therefore, that's become the accepted practice today. So again, whether it's mamish in the Gemara itself, that it's a real bona fide hachok, it's a real listen to Rabbana, probably not. It's probably B'toras Chumrah, but it's a Chumrah that the Rishon really accepted. It goes back, well, at least to the days of Rashi, if not before. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and nobody argues with that. Of course, it's the universal practice today. One has to be careful not to hand things one to another. And the reason being, at least in Shulchan Aruch, Hashem Yigav
B'Sara. Incidental touching.
It's all part of it. Right? It's all part of it. I'm not even sure if it's a shem or it's almost like a vada. It's almost like a kavod de vada. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. It's not a takana. It's a chacham. It's a chumrah because it is a little bit far fetched. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah in later generations. The Rashba in two places talks about this. Whatever you want to call it. In one place, he presents the reason as Shulchan Aruch quotes Hashem Yigavim Sara. But in another place, the Rashba is a whole different story, a whole different pisma. Another place, the Rashba says, the reason why it's also is Mishum Hergel Dover, that we're afraid that they may become too close to one another. Not that they're going to literally physically touch, but we want to create a little bit of a wall, a little bit of a barrier to prevent too much intimate conversation, intimate activity, lest they come to be chayte directly. So according to one version of the Rashba, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's almost like a gezeira, chumra, whatever you want to call it, gezeira otu, touching. According to the other, it's a gezeira otu, more serious things. It's a gezeira that it may lead directly to something that's even more serious of a problem. My enough community. At the end of the day, it's also, at the end of the day, Medina the Gemara is probably mutar, but Mavikra Din Shulchan Aruch, we don't do it anymore. So what's the difference whether we go down the line of Shem Yigav Sarah or whether we go down the route of Mishum Hergel Dover, that just I'm afraid we want to create a little bit of a barrier. So Mistama, with the next comment on Marmach on the 7, page 14, the Ramah's comment seems to depend upon that child. The Ramah writes, Rabbah quotes from the Beis Yosef, from the Shev, from Aram already, that one shouldn't throw things to one another, which isn't either. You want to toss a ball, toss something to her. You want to toss the keys to her, that's also a problem. Why is that a problem? So of course it depends. So if you hold that the whole Isser is Zan Gezeh, it's a Chomer Shem Yigav of Sarah, so I understand not to hand it directly. I'm tossing 3 feet away, it's Shem Yigav of Sarah. But if you hold that, the Shuher Goldover. But we want, the couple should know that kind of a little bit of a barrier, a little bit of a distance, which is an Ida. So including that distance is, we don't hand things, we don't toss things, we're not having a catch, which is an Ida. So those things are all off limits, even though the reason per se of Shem Yigav of Sarah doesn't even apply at all if it's from 3 feet away. So the fact that the Ramah says that even that's also, the Ramah seems to take, not only do we accept this Chumrah, but we accept the more Chumrah part of the Chumrah. We accept the Minig Yisrael, the Chumrah Sarah Rishonim is, that even in a case where Shem Yigav of Sarah is clearly not applicable, it's still going to be problematic. There may be another Nafkamina Ladina, going back to what we spoke about the Gemara before. The Gemara mentioned before that if things are done, Kilyachayad, so a person wants to hand a cup of wine, the wife wants to hand a cup of wine, not literally hand it, put it down on the table. So if she puts it down directly, that's a problem. She puts it down on the left hand, that's mutter. She puts it down on the side, that's mutter. Puts it down on the chair, that's mutter. What's pshat? So you see from this Gemara that all achokas, or many achokas that were instituted, mishum, hergel, dover, things that were instituted, not because they're going to touch, but because more serious things are going to happen. So the idea is, it's like bas b'chol, if you have a heker, if there's something on the table, it's a separate placemat. If there's something on the table that you're not using, that serves as a separation. We're not going to violate bas b'cholof. Well, we didn't learn yet about a husband and wife eating together at the same table, when she's in need of, they put down something on the table. We'll talk about there are other people around. Now other people put down something on the table, that serves as a heker. So there is a concept in halacha that any time we're afraid of hekel davar, just stick a heker and that solves the problem. So will a heker work for this issur of handing things to one another? So it depends. If you hold that the Isser is because of the mindset of Hergel Davar, so then presumably Hecker is going to do the trick. Same way the Hecker does the trick for putting wine down, Hecker does the trick for eating together. A Hecker doing things in a strange way will solve the problem here as well. But if you tell me that the Isser is Shem Yigav of Sarah, so imagine I'm going to hand it to Kaliachaya. So instead of handing it to you directly, I'm going to put it into the back of my elbow. I would say the odds of you touching are more likely if you do it Derech Shinui. So that's what the later Pels can point out. That even though there's a ritva mesachsubis that says that if it's done derech heker, it's fine, you're okay. The ritva was clearly going along the lines of zurika along the lines of hergel davar. So hergel davar is mutter b'makom heker. But we're not so sure. We paskin that way. We paskin like both reasons of the Rashba. We paskin that you can't hand things for two reasons. Number one, there's hergel davar, and number two, the shem yigav b'sara. And sometimes one reason applies, and sometimes the other reason applies. So if you hand it directly to her in a normal fashion, both reasons apply. If you throw it to her, so then the reason of Hergel Dover applies, the reason of Shem Yigav doesn't apply. If you hand it to her Kelyachayad, then it's the other way around, then Hergel doesn't apply, but Shem Yigav does apply. So Lemaisa we ask both. We have all of the above we ask. Anytime any one of the reasons applies, we don't permit the handing of things. In theory, we would permit throwing things Kelyachayad. Think about it. If you throw a Kaliachayad, then maybe one can make a case. Maybe you have to figure out whether that would be okay. Because then neither of the two reasons apply. So Lemaisa, we assume that Heker doesn't work against the Ritva. We assume throwing is also a problem. The modern day Poskim, you're not going to find this in Shulchan Aruch or Pesach Tshuvas, the Poskim discuss about a couple playing ping pong, playing tennis, and she's a Anita. Is that called Zorek Miyada Liyada? So some Poskim want to say, depends. Big lump of shechiluk, whether they're playing or whether they're just volleying. So if you're playing, that's like Zorak Miyada Liyada, forget, I'm trying to get it away from her. I'm throwing the ball to get it on the other end, so she's got to go run and she misses the ball. But if I'm just, volleying to serve, so then the goal is, I don't want it to throw it off the court, then we have to start over again. So I'm trying to throw the ball nicely to her that she should, instead of catch it, toss it back. So maybe that would be a problem. The new chumrah. So if you have to decide who serves first without the following first if you want to play. Although the truth is that there's probably more serious problem involved in playing ping pong. You have to talk about the issues of Yitzchok, Kalas Rosh, those kinds of things. But we'll get to that hopefully later on. And in general, that's when the woman is in need, there's not the time to be playing games, those kinds of things. You have to figure out what games are included in this one, whether a tennis match, a ping pong game. You have to think this through a little bit. But in terms of the handing thing, so maybe that would be the distinction between the two. This Isser, again, as we said, is such a well-known prohibition, even though it's also not exactly from the Gemara, probably. There are a couple of situations that arise that may be permitted to quote unquote violate, but would otherwise be a handing of things to the woman. One of the most common shilas is the issue of handing babies. The most important shilah of Maisa is, can you hand the baby? The woman's in Nida, especially when the baby's first born, so she's a Yoledah, she's going to Nida for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So you're allowed to hand the baby back and forth. So in the Pesachei Tshuva, the 14th of the Rambam Kamos quotes a fascinating discussion about this. The Maramokam number 7 says the Pesachei Tshuva, the second part of it. It's the end of the second line, very end of the second line. The Ayin B'Tashbeit, Shai Tashbeit Zerishon, Tele Gimel, Tzimel Lamei Shalam, Mishikosav, the Muta Lito Miyada HaTinok, Mishum Rechai Neos Yes Atzmo, V'Oina Osa Klum, El HaTinok Atzmo, Hu Yotze Mechei Imo Bol Aviv Ayin Shom. So it quotes the Tashbeit, who says you can hand a baby and a child one to another, invoking the principle of Chushabas, Rechai Neos Yes Atzmo. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Masech Shabbos, that if you carry a baby on Shabbos, even in the Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, it's not an Issa D'Oraisa, because the child, the person, is carrying themselves. What do they carry themselves? So Tosfos writes, in the Mishkan, you carried items that didn't participate in the carry a sefer. That's called carrying the board, the crushing, that's called carrying food, that's called carrying. Carrying a child, a human being, that's also moving around and participating, it's all carrying. You carry itself, that's not Dumi the Mishkan, Chai Nos Yes Atzmo. So the Tashbeit says a fascinating comparison. It says just as Chaynos es Atzmo and Hilchos Shabbos and Mishkan, so to Chaynos es Atzmo and Hilchos carrying and handing and Hilchos Nida, you can hand the baby because I'm not handing the baby. I'm not handing the child to my wife. The child's going by itself. Chaynos es Atzmo. So that's a very, very questionable kula.
When we say that when the baby can actually
what?
Nos es Atzmo.
The what?
But we said that only when the baby
came. Oh, that's what the Pesach Tshuva continues. So Venera, he says, Dimatino Kata, if the baby's mamish, a tiny bit infant, or chola, or it's sick and he can't walk, or kafos, or the baby's tied up, also, the Azlo Shaykh, the Machainos es Atzmo, which was Bogan Avram, it's a Gemara, it's a Sekha Shabbos, that the Gemara says in Shabbos that din of Chaynos es Atzmo is only true if the person could actually walk himself. If the person is tied up and can't walk, then the whole game's over. So then it would be an Issa D'Oraisa. So most of the Rishonim say, if you have an infant, he's 2 weeks old, he can't walk by himself. So that's like a baby, that's like a person who's tied up. You wouldn't say Chaynos es Atzmo. So the problem is that the whole Tashbeitz is based on Chaynos es Atzmo. So Pesach Tshuva says correctly that it's going to undermine the entire kula. When will it be mutter? If you want to hand the five-year-old child. The whole kula is necessary for the little tiny babies, for the infants. So therefore, the whole thing is not really going to help us too much. And besides that, there are chashulch and other poskim, right? What does it have to do with chaynos es atzmo? It says chaynos es atzmo, dinu chashabes, don't have a mishkan, taisus, to meet the mishkan. What in the world does that have to do with this area of halacha? If you hand the baby, so the different reasons apply. Shavu Yigam Vipsara, maybe Hargalov, whatever the reasons are for not handing the keys, apply to handing the babies. So the Chora to be mocked at handing the baby based on this reason, the Chanazaz, is very, very difficult to understand. So that's why, in fact, many, many Poskim say it's not a problem, it's not a also. So Rabbi Willig is making on this child handing the baby, not because of Chanazaz Atzmo. Chanazaz Atzmo probably is not going to work, according to the later Poskim. He had a whole different cheshbon. We're going to hopefully talk about this later on, where the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramon discuss, are you allowed to, quote unquote, violate the Achokos in situations of Chola? So we spoke a little bit about this 2 weeks ago, where you have a Chol She'esh B'Sakona, and even the Ramon's Mekel, even if you have a Chol She'ein B'Sakona. Let's say a woman's in the hospital, and lifestyle, mom's in danger, and the other, she's got to get out of bed, there's no nurse around, the husband today wants to help her get out of bed, she's in Nida. So the Ramah writes, it's mutter. The Ramah writes that whenever it's a makam chola, even chola she'en b'sakana, unless he's doing things that are very, very affectionate, you know, he's, let's say he's a doctor and he's doing, we spoke about that a little bit in the past, but the doctors, he's doing things that are maybe a little bit too much, but if it's just little kinds of odds and ends and helping her get around and handing her medicine and supporting her to help her go to the bathroom, those kinds of things, so that's mutter, even of a chola she'en b'sakana. Because these are all Yisroel Rabban. Because I lifted these Yisroel Rabban, and Rama assumes b'makom choli. So, well, what's the difference? Whether they lifted these Yisroel Rabban b'makom choli of the wife, or choli of the husband, or choli of a third party? The choli here is the baby. we assume that a little baby is called the chelish she'ein b'sakana. So we don't want the baby to get hurt. So if you're gonna be makpid not to hand the baby one, what are you gonna do exactly? So they have to pass the baby one to another. So instead of handing the baby directly, you're gonna put the baby down. Put the baby down where? On the floor. You put the baby down on the car. Where are you gonna put the baby exactly? So since it becomes very difficult to maneuver this, and the baby may get hurt in the process, so we thought that we could be makel and call that a makom chola, chol shem b'sakana, it's shlomo d'achiv. Anyway, we thought the mikra in the handing of babies was, if necessary, was really permissible. I think he told us that what inspired him to come to the school is that he once saw a couple not handing the baby, they put the baby down in the car. The baby almost slid right off the car. And so he said, maybe that's not the best idea. So he said, I had to take a little
while.
We wanted to remain a chai after the snow's over. So he thought that mikra did that was okay. So again, so we spoke a little bit about the general of not handing things, which is again only the rabbanim for a variety of reasons. Now we saw there are certain possible kulas. Another possible kula is, what if it's something that's very, very heavy? The couple's moving and they're trying to carry a dresser out the door. I guess they're trying to save a few dollars on the moving dress. So what's the din? So many posts by Makel on this for a variety of reasons. Adi Yosef is Makel on this. He writes that the whole thing is a minig, is a chumrah. It's not an ikur, it's not even an incident, it's a manah, it's a chumrah. So therefore the chumrah was mishkamah, not incident, in situations where it's very, very difficult. Situations where it's so impossible to handle, to maneuver anyway. So we thought that the mikra did was mutter. One could argue, maybe another reason, maybe when you're carrying something that's so heavy, it's just schlep, sweat, maybe the whole reason don't apply, that this is hergel davar. I'm holding onto a big desk together. So I'm on one end, you're on the other end. So shem yigur b'sar, unless they're mamash touching together, so they're 3 feet away from each other. What kind of shem yigur b'sar? What kind of hergel davar? The guy's schwitzing, sweating up a storm, he's trying not to drop the desk on himself. So that's hergel davar. So maybe one could argue that all the reasons don't apply either. So yeah, for a variety of reasons. Yeah, these are things that b'shas and chak are probably permissible. So the chetchila, one should be careful. Try to find somebody else to help you with your moving day. But if you're really not in a pickle, nobody else with your wife, then if it's things that are very uncomfortable, very schleppy kinds of things, then no other way to do it practically. So it's probably, according to many false beliefs, it's going to be mutter. So we try to touch a little bit on the parameters of this achakof. So next year, we'll talk about the next achakof, which actually is a real din. That's a din that appears in the Mishnah, actually, about the eating. Okay, just in terms of the schedule.